Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Welcome back in, hour number 3 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, who joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Corey, what's going on, man? How we doing?
You guys are scraping the bottom of the barrel once again at 8.
That's what we do here on Monday mornings at 8 o'clock. Corey, hope you had a good weekend. I want to start, and we were having this discussion earlier in the show about Mike Vrabel and the Titans. And obviously, there's a lot of different factors that play into whether or not your season is successful.
Yeah.
And nobody can forecast what injuries look like in that regard. But just on the surface, as you look at this Titan season, how much of how we view Mike Vrabel and the job he did this year do you think is going to boil down to the performance of the two coordinators he hired in Shane Bowen and Todd Downing?
Well, I mean, that's part of the job, right?
Yep.
Is hiring good assistants. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be important because, you know, he's the head coach. It's his team. Their ultimate performance belongs to him. But if they score 30 points a game last year and then this year drop down to 22, Todd Downing will obviously probably get the blame for that, but it's his football team, and so, you know, ultimately he will get the blame for not being able to follow up with it. So, you know, look, everybody banged on Shane Bowen last year and the whole defensive situation, and rightfully so, but I think most of the blame from most people fell on Vrabel for the way, you know, he handled that whole situation and with the players that they brought in that didn't work out, that obviously had a connection to the head coach. So I think hiring good assistants, especially coordinators, is a really important job of the head coach. And so, you know, anybody who's a boss and you have a staff, you know that your staff and their failures are your failures. That's just the way it goes.
So, Corey, I'm a long-time advocate of fewer preseason games, long-time complainer about preseason games. And they're not getting better. Like, we hardly ever see key players in them. And yet, I'm pretty excited to see a few things Friday. And I guess, like, it's better to still have them than just have practice in the regular season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you looking forward to Friday?
I'm looking forward to the games on News 2, number one.
That's right. There you go.
Games. Starting at 6 o'clock with Dan Helley calling the game, Charles Davis in the booth with them. I'll be on the sideline. You can join us then. We'll see you there.
That's right.
So I'm excited to have the preseason back on these two. And look, I understand that preseason games aren't regular season games. That's why they're called preseason games. And I think you just have to go in with a different expectation for what you're going to see. All right? You're not going to see, you know, you're not watching that game to see if the Titans can win the game. That's not the expectation. If that's what you're going in to see, you're not watching the right things. You know, you're looking for individual performances is what you're really looking for. You're looking to see how people operate together, you know, in limited opportunities because you get a lot of mismatching. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys, you know, that I want to see. I want to see the young guys. I want to see how the young guys in the secondary compete. I want to see how much better is Christian Fulton. I want to see how big of a step is Imani Hooker going to take, you know, as a starting guy. And can these receivers who've had a good start to camp carry it over into a preseason game? And maybe a guy who's been kind of anonymous so far, like a Des Fitzpatrick, in a game situation, and when the lights come on, does he step it up and all of a sudden become a guy we notice? You know, those are a bunch of things that I'm looking for. I always look for the young guys in the preseason. Because it's their first opportunity and it's their first, you know, time with the lights on and first chance at, you know, game speed. So that's number one what I'm looking for.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, there is a battle at a position raging right now in Titans training camp that normally is not raging with the history of the Tennessee Titans, and that is wide receiver. I mean, there's eight, nine guys.
I thought you were a kicker, Robbie. I'm not going to lie.
Well, there is that. But the wide receiver, I mean, there's eight or nine guys that have legitimate chances to make this team at this point. Number one, how impressed have you been with Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers up until this point? And I guess how weird is it to be talking about a Titans team that has this much depth or I guess apparently this much depth at wide receiver? We'll see what happens when the actual games take place.
Well, it looks to be the most depth they've had since I've been covering the team, which is about 2003. And when you look at Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers, I mean, those are guys with NFL experience. So, I mean, that shouldn't surprise us, right? I mean, these are guys who've been in the league 5 years. So they should come in and they should compete, but they have looked good. But the one thing I always tell everybody to slow down on those two guys is ideally they play about 10 snaps a game, right? I mean, ideally, because you want Julio Jones and A.J. Brown on the field or Josh Reynolds on the field. But, you know, look, you know, I always say the guys that practice well jump off the page at you, and those guys have practiced well, and they deserve to be talked about. They're doing the things to make the football team. And it's a lot better to talk about who's going to get cut and how are you going to get down to this many than how are you going to get up to five or six that you want to keep. Because we've had those conversations before as well. You know, where you're sitting there saying, who's going to get cut that you can bring in and complete this roster? And we're not doing that with wide receiver at this situation. We're saying, can you cut Racy McMath and get him through to the practice squad until he's ready? No. Okay, well, if you do that, what about Des Fitzpatrick? And if you do that, could you keep a seventh if you limit yourself to three times? I mean, those are the conversations we're having. And so, you know, those are all exciting things to hear. But at the same time, again, you know, there was a reason we talk about the fifth and the sixth wide receivers playing special teams, because they don't play a lot during the games, all right? So that becomes important. And when you look at Racy McMath, that's a guy you talk about being a gunner. He's big, he's fast, he's strong. You know, and how well he adapts to that role could be more important than how a Chester Rogers or Marcus Johnson adapts to being the team's fourth or fifth. But I guess the question is, with Josh Reynolds not practicing much, are either of those guys pushing to be the three? I mean, because we just all penciled in Josh Reynolds as the three. Maybe that's not the case at this point. That's going to be something that's interesting to see as Josh Reynolds comes back. Because it's not like they're paying Josh Reynolds, you know, $7 million a year for 3 years. He's on a one-year, $1.75 million deal.
Yeah, so receiver is raging. Kicker is just a source of rage.
Yes.
With the Titans. But
apparently not with the Titans, because they still don't think about bringing somebody actually in at the start of the summer who can lock down the job.
Yeah, now I will say Sam Ficken looks pretty good.
He looked good last week.
Yeah, and Tucker McCann seems to be responding. So, how big is that Friday, Corey? Just to have, you know, another team actually trying to rush you, putting it all together. Like, how much more important? Because again, last year there was none of this for a Tucker McCann to put on a uniform and perform. How much more do you think the value is of a opportunity like Friday compared to like the daily grind in the practices?
Well, I think it's huge. Number one, because it's exactly what I talked about here at the top of the show with watching the young guys get their first taste of it and seeing how they respond. But number two, we all watched the Hall of Fame game, right? We all watched the atrocity
every
the kicking game was of that game. So, you know, if the kicking game is an atrocity in this football game, it's going to tell us a lot. It's going to tell us, call Steven Gostkowski and tell him to get the sock on or off. He's got to decide how he wants to do it this year, okay? Because you're right. I think the Titans have wanted, this is just my opinion, no one's told me this, I think they've wanted Tucker McCann to win this job because he could be their kicker of the future and he could save them a bunch of money for a few years, okay? So I think, you know, they've had him for over a year now. I think they would like for him to win this job. I think I agree with you that Sam Ficken looked really good. And it'll be good to see if McCann can respond. Because sometimes if the guy you're kicking with is struggling every day, it's like golf. You know, That guy can drag you down.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I know. I have dragged down some really good scores in my day. I know. Okay.
Me too, buddy.
So, you know, maybe Ficken does help elevate him. It would be nice, you know, to see that be a battle where they have to make a choice, you know, between the two of them at the end of camp, and you feel good about both of those choices. And I do think that this game is important for that. And I do think, while touchdowns are great, I think that the Titans could learn a lot about their team and their kicking situation by unfortunately having to settle for a few field goals.
So, Corey, we've talked a lot here on the show about the backup quarterback battle and how everybody just keeps writing Logan Woodside off, and all of a sudden Logan Woodside just leaves a wake of destruction behind him and continues to hold down on this job. Number one, do you think there's any way Matt Barkley challenges Woodside for this job? And number two, how excited are you to see what Logan Woodside can actually do in a game setting coming up on Friday?
Well, okay, I've seen Logan Woodside in preseason games, okay? So I'm not going to say I'm excited to see what he can do. I've seen him play in preseason games. I have an idea of what I can do. Logan Woodside, and this is, well, it'll be a slight to him, but I don't mean it to be a slight to him. He is their baseline, all right? They know what they've got there at backup quarterback. It's up to somebody else to come in there to elevate over that. And, you know, that was the thought with DeShone Kizer, former second-round pick, 4 inches taller, big arm, mobile. He's got a lot of upside. If he can elevate his game, he's got higher upside than Logan Woodside, okay? But you know what? He didn't elevate his game. He stunk and he got cut, and now Matt Barkley's here. Matt Barkley's 30-something years old. I think they've settled in on Logan Woodside as their backup quarterback, but you still need, I think, three. They've kept the practice squad rules the same where they could keep Barkley as practice squad, right?
Yes.
Okay, because before you couldn't be that late into your career and still do it. So I think you're still going to want three with a third on the practice squad, you know, with the COVID situation the way it is, because if you get both your guys knocked out, you know, you don't want to be the Denver Broncos and have a wide receiver rolling out there throwing passes for you. I don't even know who that would be for the Titans this year. And look, the funny thing is like Barkley, you know what DeShone Kizer's touchdown to interception ratio is for his career? 11 and 24, which is terrible, right?
Yeah.
You know what Barkley's is? 11 and 22. I mean,
right.
they've done basically the same thing in their career. So I think, you know, they figured out that Kizer, who they would like to have challenged for the number two, wasn't even worth keeping around to be the number three. I think Barkley's got a chance to come in here and stick around for a season on the practice squad. That's what he's got a chance to do. He's got a chance to finish up a bunch of preseason games and show that he can have a uniform and get paid, and the team can roll him out there and not worry about putting a position player at quarterback.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for taking time to join us, and looking forward to your coverage coming up on Friday of the Titans and the Falcons.
Did you let Joe speak today? I don't remember.
Oh, he spoke.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What's that?
There's usually some dig on me or the Bears, and I was just waiting for it.
Well, Justin Fields out there lighting it up, man.
I'm off my
Did
game. Oh, he's the best quarterback ever, isn't he?
Yesterday?
Oh, I saw his throw.
Hey, look, to be the best quarterback in Bears history is not hard.
No,
okay?
It's not.
The bar is low. If he is just an average NFL QB, he will have achieved it. So there you go.
Steve Fuller is not very happy with you right now.
Steve Fuller was not very good.
Rex Grossman's not walking through that door.
Yeah,
that's right. No, thankfully.
Thanks, Corey. We appreciate it.
Later, guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2 every Monday at 8 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment.
A lot of Justin Fields love out there right now. Chicago Bears fans very excited about Justin Fields at training camp so far.
Yeah, apparently he's lighting it up. Again, it's who's he comparing to, you know?
Andy Dalton and Nick Foles.
But, hey, I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised when he becomes a really good quarterback in this league.
That's maybe another case of teams maybe overthinking things a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, like the whole – I mean, just – sorry, Drew, but the whole Mac Jones thing over Justin Fields, never bought it.
The Falcons have signed former Texans and Titans running back Deontay Foreman. So now Arthur Smith, Deontay Foreman in the mix. The battering ram be running right into Monty Rice coming up on Friday.
I was going to say there's some guys over here who just got a tougher night at work Friday if he's going to be out there getting 10 carries. He's a load.
Yes.
Arthur Smith.
He loves him some former Titans.
He does. That'll be interesting.
It will be very interesting. Joe Rexford, you were out at camp on Saturday. A bit of a lighter day for the Titans at camp. No A.J. Brown, Jeffrey Simmons. A lot of veterans getting the day off. What stood out to you Saturday at camp? What have been some of your biggest takeaways from camp so far? Now that game week is officially here, there's a preseason game to look forward to for the Titans this week.
Yeah, bad day for Daniel Munyer snapping. I think four errant snaps. Good day for the kickers. They did have Tucker McCann come in a sort of a game situation. Hurry up, run him out there. He was 6 for 6 at this point, including a 53-yarder. Missed a 53-yarder in the situation of running onto the field and actually like an actual game situation. But again, he has been good. He's been better. Fickin's been good since coming in. I think Corey Curtis is onto something there. Maybe you rise a little bit when your competition is better and vice versa. So that's good news. Marcus Johnson is definitely one of my takeaways. We're talking a lot about that as a press corps. Just watching him again make big plays out there.
Yeah.
And I agree with Corey that you don't want to see him this year if you're a Titans fan, because you want to see Julio Jones and A.J. Brown both catch 100 passes and maybe Josh Reynolds and Anthony Firkser get some love. But he brought up an interesting point there. Josh Reynolds, I would say if I'm Josh Reynolds right now, I'm feeling a little bit of urgency to be available and to make some plays and establish myself in these practice periods, because Marcus Johnson certainly has done that. I mean, again, Marcus Johnson, to me, it's like he's on the team, if he is on the team, because the way he plays and performs every day, you feel like if you needed to plug him in for one of those guys, he could go out there and do the job and produce. But who knows? Maybe he could push Reynolds. I mean, Reynolds, it's time, and he was out there Saturday. So if he's past his ailments, it's a big week for him to kind of establish, I'm the three, I'm going to be out there a lot with this offense, because Marcus Johnson is not stopping every day, day after day after day, stacking together days, which is very hard to do in training camp, even for great players. I mean, look, Vrabel is very big on key guys. Here, you're taking this day off. You're taking that day off. Vrabel is a player's coach in a lot of ways. I think in that way, I think he's maybe a little bit ahead of the curve compared to some coaches on that. But there's also the flip side of that is, how important is it for your key guys to get some reps and some rhythm with each other? Even Derrick Henry maybe at some point in camp. But Marcus Johnson has taken advantage of the opportunity. So has Chester Rogers. Those two guys right now, probably other than A.J. Brown when he's out there and just doing ridiculous, stupid stuff. Stupid as in good.
Yes.
Those two guys have been the standouts.
Let's go to
Johnson and then Rogers.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston texting in. Morning, guys. In recent years, we've seen Jonnu Smith, Jack Conklin, and Jeff Simmons come back from knee surgery and all have had knee braces on when they return to play. Neither LaJuan nor Dupree has rocked a knee brace, and they're both roughly 9 months post-injury. Do you guys think that's an advancement in ACL surgery or a testament to those guys and how hard they worked?
That's an interesting question. I would definitely expect LaJuan, when he plays football again, with contact, he'll have they'll have the brace on. But that's a good point. I mean, they're out there running around and just fine. So certainly I don't think that they're like ignoring doctor's orders on that. So
no.
that's a good question and a good point. Definitely noticed, especially I mean, I definitely, you know, you look at when Dupree's first day out there, you're looking for that. And you're like, wow, he doesn't even have a brace on. And, again, both of those guys are less than a year out from tearing those ACLs.
Well, and to Kenson's point there, it's pretty amazing how far they've come with that particular surgery. Like that used to be not only season-ending, but you wondered, all right, like, he's torn his ACL. Is he ever going to come back and be the same? And a lot of times the answer was no, you didn't come back, and you weren't the same. Now it's basically become routine where, yeah, you've torn your ACL. It's still a lengthy process to try to rehab through, but by and large, most guys come back and they're every bit as athletic as they used to be before the injury this point.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, like if your meniscus is in good shape, I mean, you have a chance to be all the way back and quickly. Now, even as a big guy,
yeah,
very different. So, you know, you still have obviously serious knee injuries. Like when you hear someone get the microfracture, a lot of times that is hard to, you know, that means serious stuff and it's hard to come back from. But yeah, the ACL thing has gotten way better. And yeah, those guys look good out there. They are moving very well.
Coming up next, it was a big day yesterday at the Pro Football Hall of Fame for a Tennessee Volunteers legend. We'll ask the question and throw it out there. Where does Peyton Manning stack up in terms of the greatest athletes that have ever been in the state of Tennessee? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick the Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game Sunday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The impressive run for our listeners continues in NSC Pick the Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. CJ Sapong, the goal scorer last night for Nashville SC. So listeners now with four correct answers in the competition.
You're
at one. Michelle's at one as well, and I am at zero.
That's ridiculous. Oh, speaking of listeners, a lot more support, you know, on the chores, kids' chores. So
yes.
Mark from Nolensville, also on my personal text line, says Dylan does his own laundry, vacuums upstairs, cleans toilets in all caps.
Yes.
Dishes too, but we have a dishwasher, which is easy. I didn't even mention that. Yeah, we have a dishwasher. So again, I'm asking you to rinse off the dishes.
And then load them in the dishwasher.
Put them in the dishwasher. And hit the button.
And then move on with your day.
Yes. Do whatever you like then, after the 10 minutes of work you're being asked to do.
The Rex rant continues into 8:32 this morning.
Oh, and by the way, in my car, I have a brand new, it's a silver metallic charger.
Yeah,
that I bought a couple days ago. So that's not getting any better either.
Chargers continue to be stolen.
Yep. So I know what this charger looks like. No other charger in my home. So we'll see how long I have it. But, I mean, if you steal my charger now, like there's no way. Now, that's the thing. Probably go through the effort of, like, painting it white or something. Yeah. Try to, you know.
This isn't yours.
Rather than, like, just not lose your charger. Incredible.
I can't wait to the day you walk in here and that charger's just been ripped from your car.
Oh, it'll happen.
It's definitely going to happen. I'm looking forward
to it. Might need an emergency Thursday Rex rant.
That's right. Thursday. Be pretty quick. That
just
happens
my
this
guess.
Week.
That's about my guess. That's usual average time of having a charger.
Joe, it was a fun weekend at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, other than the Hall of Fame game, which is typically after the first series or two, pretty brutal to watch. And it was, again, between the Cowboys and the Steelers the other night. Peyton Manning inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend as well. Lots of fun interviews. Tom Brady, the ageless wonder, making his way up to Canton, Ohio for Peyton Manning's induction as well. Peyton had some fun with that. But just a really cool speech, a really well-done speech by Peyton Manning, which I think comes to the surprise of nobody. You knew it would be good, and it was. Here's a little bit of what Peyton Manning had to say yesterday at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Canton, Ohio. We're working to get that audio. We'll have that for you here in just a second. Here we go. Here is what Peyton Manning had to say yesterday at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Canton, Ohio.
When we leave this stage tonight, it is no longer about us. It is about cultivating the game that has given so much to us. It's about nurturing football to live and thrive another day, another year, decade, and another generation. It's about guaranteeing that kids everywhere can learn, bond, grow, and have fun with every flag pulled, every tackle made, every pass thrown, every run, block, sack, and touchdown scored. The audience here tonight is made up of diehard fans who feel football deep in your bones. Now, we may have ignited the fire, but you have fanned the flames. Inevitably, those flames will be whipped by the winds of change, but they don't need to smolder. The future of this game is ours to shape. We just need to take tomorrow on our shoulders as readily as we donned our pads before each game. Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you and God bless football.
That was Peyton Manning's end of his speech yesterday, where, I mean, it was one of many incredible moments yesterday in his speech. A little bit of getting after Tom Brady as well thrown in there, but just continues to be a great ambassador for the game of football. I thought a really cool speech yesterday by Peyton Manning.
Yeah, did not disappoint at all. Yeah, great stuff getting after Brady and Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
A little bit of emotion in there, personal stuff, but then really it was very much, I mean, that was a key part. I mean, just the football, you know, it's almost like a call to arms, you know, protect the game and fight for the game. Adam Schefter, I think, tweeted during it, like, is this the next commissioner of the NFL?
Yeah.
We keep wondering, like, what is Peyton, you know, what is he going to settle into? Does he want to be a GM somewhere? Does he want to be the voice of Monday Night Football for 20 years?
Well, he's going to be on TV.
He's going to be kind of doing that this year.
Yeah. Him and Eli.
Yeah.
Still fascinated to see how that works out.
I'm going to check it out. But that's a thought I hadn't had before. How about Peyton? I mean, would he be the most likable commissioner ever of a sports league? I mean,
yeah,
he'd quickly become, you know, that's the problem with that job, is then he quickly become less liked.
Right.
You know, but, hey, I'd say that's not the worst idea I've ever heard. But it was a great speech. I mean, to no one's surprise.
Well, obviously a great career as well, not only for his pro football career, which includes a two-time Super Bowl champion, five-time NFL MVP, the only player to have won the NFL MVP award five times. You've talked about it many times here on the show, Joe, at his highest level, maybe the greatest quarterback that you've ever seen playing quarterback in this league. The mental part of the game, he could make all the throws, made a lot of great plays, but it was the preparation and the mental part of the game where Peyton Manning really accelerated and really, quite frankly, changed the way the position is played today in the modern day era. There's a lot of guys that you try to prepare like Peyton Manning prepares, but it's hard to do. There's a lot of stories we've heard. We had, you know, Jeff Saturday on our show before talk about what it was like playing with Peyton Manning and just everything that went into that. So obviously an all-time great player, an all-time great quarterback. My question is Peyton Manning the greatest athlete that we've ever seen here in the state of Tennessee? Obviously, there's a lot of different ways you can go with that. Peyton Manning certainly very accomplished. In his 4 years at Tennessee, did not win a championship at Tennessee in his 4 years, but went on to have obviously one of the greatest quarterbacking careers that we have ever seen. When you start to think about the athletes in the history of this state, where does Peyton Manning rank on that list? Is he the number one athlete on that list when you factor in everybody that's been associated with the state of Tennessee, whether that's in college, in pro, whatever direction you want to take it?
Yeah, I think it kind of just depends on how exactly you want to phrase it. I think you make a case for him from a variety of angles. But I think, you know, best athlete, you said earlier off the air, you know, most accomplished athlete. Like how exactly do you want to, you know, how exactly do you want to categorize it? I know that one name, which, by the way, came up on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as we were talking about Chicago Bears quarterbacks, would be Bill Wade.
That's right.
Vanderbilt legend, number one overall pick in the 52 draft, took the Bears to the 63 championship. Peyton Manning, I would put ahead of Bill Wade. You know, it's also an interesting thing when you talk about state of Tennessee. Some people would say, well, I'm talking about people who are from Tennessee. So, obviously, that rules them out.
But if you're going down that route, I mean, that rules out Eddie George. That rules out Steve McNair.
Right.
Rules out Pecorine.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're talking about – I mean, I will say that from any perspective, you know, Wilma Rudolph – from Clarksville, you're talking about gold medalists on 60 and the 100, 200 and the 4x100, and also, I mean, the social aspect of that in 1960 as well. But I mean, that's she checks every box. But yeah, I mean, to me, I think you have to. I mean, I count people who play for pro teams here for sure.
Sure.
Who else comes to mind? I will say another guy. You know, I didn't realize this. There are 3 Vols in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I would have guessed more.
Me too.
And you know who they are.
Well, I know Peyton's 1, Reggie White's 2. The other one's not coming to mind at the moment.
Doug Atkins, okay. Who was a great player. I mean, and going back, I mean, you're going back to, you know, in the 50s in the Browns and just a great player with the Bears.
They got another one that'll be there soon. Jason Witten will be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. But Reggie White. I can make the case for him in this discussion with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the, you know, like one of the greatest players at his position or just in general, greatest defensive players in the history of the game. So 2 right there from UT. Tracy Calkins, you know, you're talking about 3 golds in 84 in the Olympics. Now, you know, she lived here, you know, trained here from Minnesota. Actually went to Florida for college, but still, I mean, Nashville. So you Olympians, it's always interesting, like Olympians compared to like pro athletes of like very popular pro sports. When you talk about attention or, you know, how many people are you reaching with your greatness? I mean, the NFL is king. So there's a lot of people who would be like, who? When you mention some of these other, you know, great athletes. Kerry Middlecoff, you know, from Memphis, you know, 39 PGA tournaments he won the Masters, 55. You know, there's some of these names that, like, you put them right up there, but it's like, yeah, but everybody knows the NFL stars. Johnny Majors is another name I would throw out. You're talking about a guy who should have won the Heisman, frankly.
Yeah.
All-time great player at Tennessee. You know, he wasn't big enough to play in the NFL, but he was great.
It was interesting, Charles Woodson and Peyton Manning going in together last night.
Yes. Yes. That was a tough one. You know, that vote is a – boy, that's a tough one. Because I can see both sides of it. I think if Peyton beats Florida that year, then I think he wins the Heisman.
Yep. I would agree.
And I think that the
Charles Woodson, pretty good player.
I was in the house when Charles Woodson had his Heisman moment.
Yeah.
Made that pick on the sideline at Spartan Stadium. And then another one where he returned the punt against Ohio State. And all that. I mean, again, you're talking about arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. Arguably. Not saying he was, but, you know, some people would still argue it.
Yes.
Versus arguably the greatest corner of all time. And I don't think Woodson is quite there, but, I mean, he's on the very short list, too. All-time great players, first ballot Hall of Famers who just happened to both be up for that Heisman. It doesn't happen like that every year.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Is Peyton Manning the greatest athlete to ever come out of the state of Tennessee? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing Peyton Manning entering the Hall of Fame, 5-time NFL MVP, 2-time Super Bowl champion. Is Peyton Manning the greatest athlete associated with the state of Tennessee? Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Bud texting in on the text line. Mookie Betts, a name brought up. Ryan Poore texting in as well about Mookie Betts. Obviously, already a 2-time World Series champion.
an MVP winner, Gold Gloves in the fold as well, and he's only 28 years old. So by the time Mookie Betts is done playing baseball, I mean, he's probably definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. He could end up being, based on the team that he's on right now with the Dodgers, he could end up winning the World Series four, five, six times in his career and be a multiple-time MVP winner as well. At that point, Mookie Betts, I think, certainly belongs on this list. He's already pretty high at the top of this list.
Yeah. No, definitely one to watch. That's a great point. Some other names. Someone brought up Bernard King.
Yep.
You're talking about great with the balls, but, you know, Hall of Fame NBA career. How about Too Tall Jones? Ed Too Tall Jones, Tennessee State All-American, monster, you know, career with the Cowboys. How about a little Steve Spurrier?
Hey,
winning the Heisman. Didn't do a ton in the NFL. Won the Heisman.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Steve Spurrier. Yeah. That's right.
Penny Hardaway getting a lot of love as well.
Yeah.
On the text line.
Well, and he's, yeah, for sure. I mean, Penny Hardaway, great player, great NBA player. By the way, might have, he just got one of the biggest recruits in the country. And
I don't guess he's going to be the coach of the Magic.
I don't think so. And he might be getting Imani Bates, which if he does, Memphis this year is must. I mean, Imani Bates, some people think, is like the next Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And he has to play 2 years of college. If he's going to play college, he's not eligible for the NBA draft till 23. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Basketball fans.
Chris in Nashville texting in. Peyton Manning, Reggie White, Bernard King, Cutler, and Penny Hardaway. Are you talking about Jay Cutler?
Easy.
I don't know if I'd put him on the list. He's a good player. Good player at Vanderbilt. Good NFL career.
Good. Yeah, he was. I mean, of Bears quarterbacks, he's high on the list.
Oh, yeah.
To Corey's point. Corey, by the way, is giving me some good points on my text line about Peyton, which is it's a great thing to think about. He almost threw 100 picks in his first five seasons, you know, 28 and 26. So 28, 26, 23, and then in year four he had 23 picks.
Yeah. Just chucking it all over the place.
I mean, you think about into the context of today, first of all, how quickly – now, Peyton was thrown into it, but back then it was like, well, I don't do that. You know, you don't want the rookie to play that quickly. And it's like, okay, well, that's what you get. You get 28 picks, right? Well, today – you play right away, and you don't have to be nearly that bad for everybody to say, it's not good enough. Sorry, Tua. You know, I mean, think about how different things were. It took him a few years to, you know, get to the point where he was great.
Yeah. And then you fast forward to 2004, where he figured it all out, and 49 touchdowns, 10 picks.
It's pretty good. I think I had him in fantasy that year.
Yeah, smooth that one out. I got another vote on the text line for Wilma Rudolph. Absolutely belongs in this discussion.
You can't have this discussion without saying her name very quickly.
Shane from Ashland City texting in. Mookie has a Hall of Fame name. Just sounds like a name on the Hall of Fame list. He's already building up a Hall of Fame resume at this point.
Oh, he's on his way.
He is well on his way. I got a vote for Doug Atkins as the greatest Tennessee legend. Another vote for Wilma Rudolph as well. Lots of names rolling in on the text line, including, what about Big Albert Haynesworth on the list? He's up there. I don't know that I'd put him. I mean, he's not ahead of Reggie White.
No. No. Or Atkins.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of – it's also, to me, it's just like when you have this discussion and it's someone who's not around for a long time, you know, I tend to favor those who have longer period of time. But then again, that's the NFL. I mean, again, if you want to really get technical with this, how about Randy Moss?
Right? That's true.
I mean, we don't count him, right? No, I would count Haynesworth because Haynesworth was a great player and the centerpiece of a really good defense here.
What about
– How about Derrick Henry?
Well, Daniel texting in, Oscar Robertson, born in Charlotte, Tennessee.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Charlotte, Tennessee. Oscar Robertson.
Huh. Okay. Well, then, yeah.
Put him on the list.
He's right there. I had no idea.
Yeah. That depends on how you associate and define, you know, associated with Tennessee. Like, Peyton Manning's not from Tennessee. He was here for 4 years.
Should it be
Oscar Robertson born?
Does it need to be Charlotte? That you participated for a Tennessee team?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, Mookie Betts didn't participate for a Tennessee team. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's right.
And he didn't play college ball at all, I don't think.
It's just interesting. You know, it's like you can be born somewhere and like move somewhere else right. when you're three and you're not really identified with that place. Mookie Betts is
right, like Matthew Olivier technically is from Mississippi. I think he spent about a week in Mississippi in his life and then was back in Canada.
But he gets the Biloxi Bowl nickname, right. so it works out well.
That's right.
But, I mean, Mookie Betts is identified with Nashville. He comes back here. He's involved sure. here. You know, he was a great high school player here. I don't know. That's an interesting, like, where do you draw the line on stuff like that?
What about Terrell Owens on the list?
Yeah, for sure. No, he absolutely should be on the list. That's an oversight that we haven't mentioned yet. Oscar Robertson moved to Indy when he was a baby, 18 months old.
Okay, so he was here for
a year? I have a hard time when someone happens to be born somewhere and then they didn't spend any formative years right. there at all. Like, again, we mentioned Tracy.
But we didn't define that beforehand. So Daniel was right to point that out.
Sure. No, I didn't even know it. So it's a great tidbit. But like Tracy Calkins, Olympian, not born here, didn't go to college here, but Nashville Aquatic Club,
right.
you know, formative years here, built into an Olympian here. So that, to me, counts.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texting in. Jason Witten should probably be on the list, but probably not the best we've seen. Peyton is definitely the most known, but the most athletic would probably go to Pekka. How about that? Pekka, the most athletic.
I might go Penny Hardaway on you. You know?
Yeah.
But Pekka's...
He's up there.
He's up there.
Well, to your point, like, Derrick Henry is probably never going to surpass Peyton Manning, so let's calm down a little bit on that. But Derrick Henry at some point could be in this conversation in terms of the greatest athletes ever to have associated themselves with Tennessee. And he's already probably on the list somewhere, but as he continues to play and continues to put up numbers, we talked about him and the journey to the Hall of Fame. Derrick Henry could get on this list pretty quickly.
Yeah. Now, let's think about the guy they just added again. So,
how long does he stay here?
Yeah, like how long would it take for Julio Jones to be considered, you know, eligible for, like, this discussion?
Well, like, if Julio Jones has a big year this year and the Titans win the Super Bowl, he's in the discussion.
Yeah. Just because Randy Moss had a cup of coffee here. It didn't work out. Yeah. Okay. But he technically played for the team.
He did. Now, he's barely on the field, but he did.
I mean, he's an all-time great player.
He is.
So if Julio Jones comes in and basically does what people hope in 1 year, then you would – because right now, I mean, he's well beyond, like, you know, like Derrick Henry's case for the Hall of Fame. Now, that may not be the case when it's all said and done.
Sure.
But he is. I mean, he's built a –
I think he's one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in. We know this. So you're saying one good year here for him and the team, he's a Titan.
I would imagine, and this is just a guess, if Julio Jones is healthy enough to play, I will imagine he has probably done more in a Titans uniform than Randy Moss did in one game, would be my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess of how this is going to play out.
Yeah, sounds like it was quite a little stop for Randy here.
It was. Christopher on Periscope tweeting in, what about David Price on the list?
Yeah. I just would say, you know, Mookie Betts at this point is probably going to end up with a better career than him. Both of them with, you know, great careers, and they both have a long way to go, and who knows how it's going to turn out. But Mookie, if you're going to talk about professional baseball players from here, you would – already, I think, start with Mookie Betts over David Price, would you not?
I would, yeah. Big League Designs on YouTube, define athlete. I don't think of Peyton as having amazing athletic ability.
Well, it's athletic performance.
Right.
So, yeah, Peyton is not going to, like, win the 100 hurdles, but how many people can play quarterback in the NFL and play it like he did? Yeah, I mean, that's – so, yeah, we're not – if we're talking about pure – athleticism. Yeah, I mean, Pecorine, Wilma Rudolph, again, from every single angle, Wilma Rudolph, would fit into this discussion and be right near the top. You know, I mean, Tracy Calkins. I mean, Olympians who are great, like swimmers, runners, are they better athletes than anybody who plays, like, or most people who play, you know, pro football or pro baseball? Probably. But that's not all we're talking about.
Right. Bud texting in. I'm not trying to overload the list, but these people need mentioning. Daytona 500 and NASCAR champ Darrell Waltrip, Sterling Marlin, U.S. Open champ Lou Graham, tennis great Roscoe Tanner. All are individual accomplishments.
There you go.
Yeah.
Chase is coming in pretty soon. He appreciates the...
Darrell Waltrip and Sterling Marlin reference?
Absolutely.
Look, I like watching old DW race. It was good stuff. Would old you put DW. Them? I like. So are you one of those people that considers NASCAR drivers athletes?
Yeah.
I am too. There's a lot of people who don't. They say, well, how are they athletic? They just drive a car.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay. It's a little bit more difficult than that.
go do that. I mean, I'd put that. Like, again, I've had my rant about gymnastics. Like, I think they're the best athletes, period. And you can't even try it or you'll kill yourself. You'd probably say that about this too, couldn't you?
Yeah. I would say so.
I mean, we all joke about it. It'd be amazing to go over the bridge 180. Okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
My average MPH on that bridge is 3.7.
That's right. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans. Get back into an earlier discussion. How much do John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have riding on this season for the Titans? We'll continue to take your thoughts as well on our text line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No!